This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, everybody, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's April 17th, episode 1150, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We work all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
So I'm getting old, and I realized that sitting in a computer desk chair didn't work for me anymore. And so, Glenn, I bought a ball, one of these big, giant balls to sit on for the show. And this is my second day, and I'm really hoping I don't get bucked off today because I am incredibly sore, like car accident sore today from my ride yesterday. So I'm trying to not...
Uh-oh.
Fall off, yeah. I had
and
one of those.
And who
are
you riding?
Awesome,
did you get bucked off the ball, or was it an actual animal?
I was not bucked off anybody. Although Edward tried really hard to get me to hit the ground. So yesterday it was one of those, just a beautiful day in Phoenix. It was like sunny and 80, and the birds were chirping, and I had two of my students show up, my like most advanced students, and I said to them, I'm like, girls, screw the jump lesson, let's go for a gallop. And they were like, yeah!
So, every teenager wants to gallop.
Oh yeah, two teenagers, let's go fly around in some empty fields. That's like the greatest thing ever. So they're excited. I'm excited. You know, I'm like a teenager sometimes with that kind of stuff. Let's go fly around at the gallop. So we get tacked up. We got to the field. And what it really is and I know I'm going to get in trouble for this someday, but they don't own the land. It's a motocross track that somebody uses. But it's not like it's a motocross track that has big giant lumps. So when you're cantering and galloping, you kind of go up the hill and down the hill. It's not like a
those
super
are so
sharp
much fun.
Apex. Oh my God, it's so much fun, Jennifer. It's so fun. And so you know, I've taken Edward out there, and you start to make that left. It curves around, and he digs in like he's at the fairgrounds where he's got to do a. Where the turns are super tight. He just loves it. He digs in and he pushes off, and it's super fun. So I said, girls, we're going to do this. I usually do it by myself, but I'm like, we're going to do this in a line. We're going to all stay in a line. So I'm on Edward. Joey is behind me, and Jacob the pony is behind her. So poor little pony has to really haul but to keep up with us. So we strike off at the gallop. And we're going around, and you can go, like, I mean, you can just keep going around the track. It's really big and fun, and so I strike out, and we get to a pretty good clip. He digs in, he bears around the turn, he's galloping up the hill, down the hill, up the hill, down the hill, on the straightaway, through the curve. And we get to going pretty fast, like, to that speed where you're like, huh, I don't know if I could stop him if I wanted to. You know, it's like, you know, that speed, like you hit that one stride and you're like, huh, I might be out of control, but let's keep going. So up the hill, down the hill, he's probably going 30 miles an hour. I look back and these girls, you know, Joey and Jacob are just running as fast as they can. And while I'm looking back, Edward goes up the hill, down the hill, and from 30 miles an hour stops.
Ah!
Just stops. It was like being in a car accident and hitting a brick wall when you're going 30 miles an hour. Stop! Bam! Done. I thank God I linked in my stirrups, because if I'd had my jump link stirrups on, I'd been out the front window, the windshield, you know. But I somehow stay on. Well, poor little Joey behind me did not see Edward slamming on the brakes, and all of a sudden I have a horse come at me from behind. Bam!
Oh, no, you got rear-ended.
I got rear-ended. The pony is smart enough. He just kind of goes around this gal that's by, and it was literally like he turned around and looked at us and goes, what are you guys doing? And kept going. Because I don't think she could stop him at that point. I were slammed on the brakes. I turn around. Abby is sitting on Joey's head. It just happened so fast. I get rear-ended from my horse that hit an imaginary brick wall. I look over. Abby is sitting on Joey's head. Joey is grazing at this point. He's so good. He didn't take off. And so, of course, she's trying to push herself back in the tack, climbing up the neck butt first, you know, and trying to get herself up. The pony turns around. And she's like, you guys got dirt in my eyes. What happened? I'm like, I don't know. Edward just stopped. And you know that you can feel their heart beating through the saddle? I look up, and in a pasture 100 yards away, 100 yards away, like barely visible, is a miniature horse staring at me.
Oh, terrifying.
Are you freaking kidding me? Giant 16-2-hand racehorse who's galloping on a track. You see a mini horse from half mile away, and he stops. It took me another 10 minutes to get him relatively close enough to see that the mini horse wasn't going to eat him. And at that point, it was over. I couldn't even, it was terrible. We had to leave the track. Somebody moved in with a dang mini and it's going to ruin my track days. That or Edward's going to have to get turned out with the minis like the paint horse did. That's it. I'm putting him out with minis and cows. Can't take it.
That's funny.
Did that work, by the way? Turning the horse out with the minis?
Well,
or is he still running?
Unfortunately, I think the pasture was too big. He was able to hide. Because when I went out and got him, I left him out there for like 6 hours. I went out and got him. He was standing in the corner by himself, and the minis were in the other corner, like far away.
Getting anywhere near those things.
I don't think it worked, but I'm going to put Edward out with him because he deserves it. I feel like I have whiplash, my shoulders, my back hurt. Unfortunately, I don't trust that horse, and so I was holding on to the mane. You know, you kind of like grab the reins in the mane, and I was already thinking this horse might do something. You know, I couldn't stop him, so I was really sitting in there. I'm really lucky I didn't go flying over his neck. I mean, really lucky. It was pretty scary. That's why I'm afraid of sitting on my ball this morning. I may have to go get the chair.
You may need the chair.
I might need it. I might need it. You're right. Well, so thanks for listening to me. I figured you would enjoy that story because
I did. I did enjoy that story. You know what I was picturing is you coming up over one of the hills and you're on the downhill when he stops. You know, on the downhill, the mogul. If he had done that, you would have been off.
I would have been off, but you should have seen the skid marks that from his feet. He wears shoes on the back. They were at like 6 feet long. It was pretty amazing. But here we go.
I don't wanna be that girl, best girl.
You know you're gonna be that girl when one of the girls says, "Did anybody film that?"
Yes.
You need the GoPro. You really do.
Yes,
matter of fact,
anyway.
The person behind you needs the GoPro. That's
we would have wrecked that GoPro. Been on the ground. So thanks. There you go. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, Reese and Philip stopped partying long enough last night to give us a report from the World Cup in Las Vegas, so we'll have a listen to that to get things rolling. And next up, we'll get to know author Jessica Burkhart and EquityMFG.com Really Bad Ads gallops hellbent through the finish flags amid deafening roar of the crowd to finish the show. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. My Daily Winnie is a happy birthday to our friend Dominique of Norco, California. Zebras are us. It is her birthday today, so happy birthday, Dominique. We hope you and all the striped critters are doing well out there in California.
Well, you guys know how fascinated I am with racehorses and all things racehorses, and I just wanted to let you know that there is a share of one of my favorite racehorses available. I think a 20% stake in the horse named Curlin. That's right. Curlin is for sale. How exciting would that be to own 20% of Curlin? It became available, this 20% sale of Curlin became available because the former 20% owners are in jail. The people that owned Curlin might have got themselves in a little bit of trouble because they, let's see, the foreclosure of the, you know those commercials that come on the show? Like, if you were hurt by the medication FenPen,
yes,
tell us
yes.
now.
Yeah.
So that was them. That was them, and they apparently stole a lot of money, and they happened to do all sorts of bad things. I'm not finding the brief synopsis right now, but apparently they were not so good at people, and they're in jail for 20 to 25 years apiece. There's two of them. To recoup the money that they stole and embezzled and did all sorts of bad stuff with, the 20% of Curlin that they owned is for sale. So they're thinking only about, what, $20 million? Is that it? That's it. That's nothing. Nothing.
$20 million bucks for 20%?
Yes. Oh, here
wow.
it is. They're currently serving a 25-year sentence, and Cunningham is serving 20 years for taking an estimated $94 million owed to clients from a $200 million settlement. So they didn't even make the drug FenPen, the diet drug. They were the lawyers that were handling the case that handled this.
Embezzled the winning money?
They, like, stole all the money from the victims of the diet drug thing.
Geez.
So when you see these commercials that go, just go, they could go to jail someday. They had all
so
their
the
assets
two,
seized.
So all those poor victims got it twice.
Yep. They took some diet drugs that messed them up, and then they hired these Galleon and Cunningham. Embezzled and stole, and they owed $94 million to clients from that $200 million settlement. Now, that also makes you go, oh, it's a $200 million settlement, and $94 million went to the, like, that just may goes to show you how much money people make from suing drug companies, because $200 million dollars was owed. That was must have been a really bad diet drug. Let me do my public service announcement. If you were harmed by the attorneys that tried to save you from being harmed by the diet drug FenPen, please call us now, 347-637-3238. We would love to hear your story.
We would
we'll
get you a
action.
Share. We can get you a share of Curlin. A small share.
Hey,
maybe
you
like
get four breeding
tail.
Rights, too. Four breeding rights. I think they're going to auction it off, but I think the $20 million is what it's estimated. So a share is $1 million. You know,
what
I mean, it's
standing
Curlin.
For now, isn't it like $35,000 or something? Isn't he at Lane's End?
Yeah, he's at Lane's End for $35,000 a pop. A pop. I shouldn't have said that.
But, well, it's really what it is.
Actually.
It's quite literal. Yes.
Yeah.
It's literal.
It's very
pop.
Literal.
Well, let's go from that. We have last night. I was able. I could not get them to get up early and do this with us live. So I recorded this last night. I know they were not getting up that early after their night of drinking in Las Vegas. Reese and Philip are out there with their spouses, actually, and they're from the Dressage Radio Show, and they're out covering the World Cup in Las Vegas. Excuse me. They are covering the World Cup in Las Vegas. They went to see the dressage yesterday, which was the Grand Prix. And I got a chance to catch up with them last night right when they got done. They were at some casino or another. And they gave us a report on what it was like. And immediately after their interview, you're going to hear an interview with Charlotte Desjardins, who was leading the way after yesterday. And then you're going to hear an interview with Stephen Peters, who was in third place after yesterday's competition. So let's take a listen to the Reese and Phillip from the World Cup.
Two of the world's most elite equestrian events will return to Las Vegas in the spring of 2015. Don't miss your chance to see the Longines FEI World Cup Jumping Final and the Reine Acra FEI World Cup Dressage Final at the Thomas & Mack Center April 15th through 19th. The world's top jumping and dressage horses and riders will compete for the prestigious title of FEI World Cup Champion, awarded by the International Equestrian Federation.
Well, I've got Reese and Phillip on here live from Las Vegas. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
It's so good to talk to you. We have them on separate phones, but I think they're in a casino someplace. Is that right?
We are currently sitting in the MGM Grand Sportsbook. But there are horses on a lot of the TV.
Yeah,
yeah, I watch the horses on the TV.
Are you picking your favorites there, Philip? Is Philip got the
if any of them are any of the losers look like good dressage horses.
There you go.
Yeah,
I've got a competition to enter next year with in Kentucky.
So oh, that's right. Yeah, you're going to need yourself an OTTV, Philip. So, yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Well, you guys got in yesterday, correct? On Wednesday.
Charles and I actually got in yesterday.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
Phillip got in the day before.
Yeah, so actually I was able to watch the warm-up event, you know, where each of the riders got 15 minutes to in the ring to kind of warm up their horse and get them used to the arena, and we all got to spectate, so that was really fun.
What arena? Tell everybody what arena it is again.
We're at the UNLV. So the University of Las Vegas, Thomas & Mack Arena, where they normally will host basketball games and sports for the university.
So that probably sits 10,000 people at least, you would think.
I think it's 12,000. I think it's more like 12,000.
I want to hear about the competition, but let's get the other stuff out of the way first. I also saw some pictures. You got to meet up with some of the listeners.
We did. We met up with some of our listeners, Father Mac.
I know Father Mac's been listening to our shows for a very long time. Hi, Father Mac. And his wife, too. You got to meet his wife, probably.
Yes, we got to meet his wife. And, no, it's been a lot of fun, and people have been Facebooking us, so we're going to do a little meetup tomorrow. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Good. I know they were asking what section you were in.
We figured we'd probably just try and do a meetup on Saturday, you know, either before or after the show maybe, and do it that way so that, you know, we can meet as many people as possible at once.
And you'll announce it on Facebook? Is that where you're going to announce it?
We'll put it on the radio.
Okay. All right, very good. So, Reese, what happened today? What was the competition today?
So today was the Grand Prix, and all 18 horses passed the jog and started. And you saw riders from all the way from Russia. There were two riders from Russia, one from Finland, Denmark, the big guns from Europe.
Sweden.
We had Edward Sweden, and then the U.S. riders. And Lars Peterson and Michaela Gunderson were the wild card. So they were fun to see. I got to see those two in particular a lot in Florida. And I thought the horses looked pretty good today. Maybe Mariette, not as much fire as I've seen her in some of the shows, but overall quite good. And, you know, just high quality of riding. And you know, certainly expect that when you come.
I was just going to say, Philip, did all the riders go today or just half of them or what?
Yeah, no, all the riders went. Okay. It was about 3.5 hours of showing. And it was really good. I mean, what was interesting for me is that Maris and I were watching the warm-ups, you know, and definitely from, you know, most of the riders just were really kind of cool, calm, collected in the warm-ups the other day, just getting the horses used to the arena. So I was like, oh, it'll be interesting today to see if they're, you know, what's going to go on when they actually have to show. And it was really cool that all the riders really kind of kicked it up, you know, 10 notches to be scoring the best in the show here today. So it was interesting to see, you know, just how they dealt with their warm-ups and the things they were working on, and then to see how that came through in the actual rides when it counted. So
I got to ask, Reese, how did your girl crush do?
Oh my God, 85%. Charlotte, did you hear that? Brought the house down. It was really something to watch. And there will be something, I'm sure, either somebody was not supposed to be taping, but I'm sure there'll be something online of Charlotte's ride today. She showed us what the number one rider in the world looks like, that's for sure. And she was phenomenal. Just every transition was clean and well prepared, and her faults were square. I mean, she did all the little things up to the big things. And, you know, I think she's the best, and she just, you know, I want to ride like her when I grow up.
So Vallegro did not disappoint, huh?
No, not at all. She was stunning.
It was beautiful. Yeah.
I assume with an 85, she's leading the way after today.
She is leading the way. She is.
Just by 6% or so.
Yeah. No buffer at all, right, Philip? Yeah.
No. Yeah. It was not that close right there. But for the rest of the ride, they were really, really quite close, you know, from second down to 18th or so. Yeah, I mean, really good rides. Just, you know, you could see just small things that made the difference. And that's, you know, at this level, that's what it takes. It can be just one bad little bobble or mix-up or transition that wasn't perfect, and then, you know, that'll change your placing big time. You can see that. So
now, who was sitting in second, guys? Do you know? Second, third?
Edward Gall at the moment, second. And
okay.
His Piaf Passage.
Yes.
Yeah. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Just fantastic. I'm sure you got at least 210 on two Piaf. They were fantastic. Just on the spot, active.
So really, really good. The only thing that detracted from the ride was a little bit is that you could see that his canter was maybe not as good. And so, you know, if you're going to poke holes, which you really shouldn't and can, that's where we saw the difference there between Allegro and Undercover, Boss Undercover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he almost broke 80%. So if that catch was clean, he could easily break 80%.
Okay.
So that's another, only 11 riders have ever done that. So that was pretty cool to watch.
And now, as far as Americans, who's sitting on top of the Americans?
So Stephen Peters was third, and he had a lovely ride. Very, very good ride. Very relaxed. Again, he had a couple little bobbles overall, but quite good, wouldn't you say, Philip?
Really nice ride by Stephen today, yeah.
And what horse?
Legolas.
Legolas, that's right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Yeah.
Just making sure of that.
And then he was 76%, and then just behind him, Laura Graves and Verdettes. So.
Oh, good for Laura. Yeah.
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 And
yeah.
He was a little tense. He has a tendency to do that sometimes, and he had a little bit of trouble with the crowd today. I'm sure she's a little disappointed, but I'm still 74% is nothing to shy at your first World Cup.
Now, I'm looking here, and what will happen tomorrow now?
So tomorrow is an off day.
Okay.
Yeah, they're just doing a dressage showcase, so I think Shannon Peters has brought Welpino's Magic, and there's going to be a pot of that. We don't really know exactly what. This is just rumors that we've heard and what horses are in town sort of thing, so we're going to have to wait and see. I think it's going to be in true Las Vegas style as a dressage showcase with, you know, lots of music and maybe some showgirls and everything over the top, as is the fashion here. And we're excited to see what happens there.
No, that'll be fun. That'll be a good time.
Yeah,
I think it's just a
Elvis was in the building today. He was the opening act for the show. It was fun.
Well, you know, you're going to go see that show tomorrow, and to see any other show in town would cost you a couple hundred bucks each. So look at this. You get a free show, right?
Exactly. That's right.
Now, are they selling drinks at the arena? Just curious.
Yes, they are, actually.
Yeah. I kind of figured.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah,
you both sounded pretty happy tonight. That's why I was asking.
No drinks yet, but soon.
It's just the afternoon here, yeah.
great. And then on Saturday is the freestyle. So I'm pretty sure all the riders, they needed a 60% in the Grand Prix to move on to the finals. So I am almost positive all 18 will move on to the finals.
Very good. Well, that'll be fun. The more freestyles, the better, right? Yeah.
The more freestyles, the better. And it happens at noon on Saturday here. So I'm expecting a packed house for sure.
Well, now I have to ask Philip before we let you guys go off to start drinking and eating and gambling your night away. Philip, you've been there for 2 days with your wife, Meredith, who I know is a blackjack player. Do you still own a house or a car? Is it all gone?
So far, so good. I was keeping a pretty close eye on her yesterday. So we just had
low-key Philip is not low-key gambling. Like, I'm just going to tell everybody, he's, like, coaching Meredith. And, you know, I'm like, Philip, leave her alone. He's like, you should have.
Always a coach, right?
Yeah. He wouldn't lay off. I had to tell him to be nice to her.
Hey, Philip, you cannot coach over her shoulder. The only way you're allowed to coach is if you're also playing.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I was like, you sit at that table.
That's a blackjack rule. I would kick you off. I'd kick you out of the table if you were doing that. You can only do that if you play. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
not the drunk guy in the back coaching.
Absolutely. It was silly.
Right.
I was like, you'd be nice.
Now, has Travis began the gambling yet?
He's up quite a bit. Actually, I think he's buying us all dinner tonight. So I'm gonna take that as he had a good night last night. So
well, great.
And I'm a very quiet watcher. I'm in awe of anybody that can gamble. My feeling is we already lose too much on horses, and I put the chips down and I think that's a saddle pad or that's that new whatever
it's
I want.
Funny because Reese pretends like horses isn't a gamble.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
it's a gamble every day. It's a
gamble
every day, making sure they stay healthy. That's the gamble right there.
Exactly.
Well, thank you guys so much for checking in. We really appreciate it. Have a great time.
Anytime.
And we'll all be looking forward to hearing the results.
Absolutely. We can't wait to share.
Well, Charlotte, going to that arena, it felt different here in Las Vegas. This crowd, we're excited to see you. How pleased were you with your effort today?
Oh, I was really, really pleased with my test today. I thought I did well. I think, you know, Blueberry really, really tried his hardest, and he never fails to let me down. And it's just such a fantastic feeling to be able to go in that arena with all those people. You know, it's a tiny arena. It's so different for us to start inside it. I don't think I've ever started inside an arena at Grand Prix level. So for me, it was like really strange to be inside and starting like that.
You have expressed concerns that the old boy hasn't taken to jet lagged. Was he feeling fine today, as if he was back to something like his old self?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I was a little bit worried about him. He was quite flat and not himself. And obviously he's done a massive journey, and jet lag has hit him, as well as having the temperature change. It's all stuff that he's kind of had to acclimatize to, and myself as well. And I got on him today, and he just felt ready to go. I think he just knew what he had to do, and he just, that's what I mean. He just never lets me down. So.
And when you're coming here, your expectations are always so high for you and the leg room. Anywhere where you felt you just might not have quite hit the mark, but it's sort of over here today?
I was generally really, really happy. Probably my first 2 PFs, he was still a bit hot, so I couldn't quite get my leg on, and I touched him in my second one, and I think I got a few double beats, but otherwise I was really, really happy.
And for you coming to Las Vegas, outside the MGM, you see a great big picture of yourself.
Yeah.
Tell me what it's like for a girl a few years ago to see yourself on a Las Vegas billboard.
I know. It's very surreal, and I have to thank everybody that's supported me, because since I've been here, I've had so many fans, from all over the world come in here to watch and support me, and it's been really, really nice to have that.
It's not easy to get here, so presumably this is a bit of an experience coming to Las Vegas and being able to perform with Allegro.
Yeah, obviously, we're really lucky. We have a whole team of people behind us. We're really lucky we've got we've got lottery funding, which has helped fund us to get here, and also provided us with a vet and physio. So we are so lucky that we have that team. Everybody doesn't get to see that at home, of what we have, but we have a great, great team and support behind the scenes.
And obviously now we've got the freestyle coming up. And again, after today, presumably your expectations are now something like you can come up with a really good test.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think of what other people think of, but, you know, I just go out there to do my best, to enjoy it. You know, when you're riding a horse like Velegro, you know, how can you not enjoy it? I mean, you know, if you think about what pressure you have and what everybody thinks that you should be you know, the expectations on my shoulders of what everybody thinks, you know, I wouldn't enjoy it. So I have to go in there to just do my best. And, you know, with the freestyle, I absolutely love it. Velegro loves it. And I just really look forward to it.
It'll be noisy when you go into the arena.
I think so. And I think, you know, the last bit, I think I'm sure they'll be cheering along. And, you know, yesterday in practice, they were clapping. And every little bit that you do, you know, they were cheering. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be very, very exciting.
Well, Stefan, many congratulations.
Thank you.
Happy memories of this place. You look as if you're pretty pleased after that test.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we prepared so intensely for this, not so much physically but mentally with Legolas. So many outings where we, you know, invited people to create a little bit of an atmosphere. We asked people to start clapping and hauling. We actually fed them some alcohol so they get a little bit louder. And, you know, Robert invited us to come to Epona Farms. That was 2 weeks ago. Even there, he was still a bit edgy. And today, he was just absolutely fantastic.
Well, coming into the arena, obviously a lot of other riders not used to it. You are used to it. But you knew what to expect from this Las Vegas crowd.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and that's why we actually made some recordings at home when people started screaming. It was for 10 seconds, and then we edited it together and played it for 10 minutes at a time. And then we did this with Legolas in our covered arena. He got his personal audio system for this show. So I'm so happy that those long hours of just relaxation and mentally preparing really paid off.
Well, you can see at the end that the horse is ready to send you running around the arena. So presumably he was pent up for the test.
Yeah, he sure was. You know, there are still lots of horse left at the very end. And let's face it, horses who do a Piaf and Passage like that, that energy has to come from somewhere. And it works beautifully in the Piaf Passage, but it can clearly work against you in the walk, in the flying changes, in the trot extensions. But everything worked out beautifully. It was one of his best tests of his career. And this right here in front of a home crowd is just awesome.
So what have you been doing to prepare for the freestyle then? Because it'll be even noisier. There'll be music. So how cranked up has your audio system been back at home?
Well, you know, same there. We practiced it. And the good thing is the management of this show has been so extremely fair, giving the horses the appropriate time to prepare. We're going to do this again tomorrow, where we don't just do a sound check, but we do the sound check mounted. And that's where we get the horses used to the correct decibels in the arena. And again, my deepest compliments to the show organizers who make it extremely fair to the horse.
Get your experience. You're enjoying your Vegas experience again.
Yes, absolutely. You know, Vegas is just one of my favorite cities in the world. And, you know, again, just to share this excitement with the audience here is just an incredible feeling.
Well, that was Stefan Peters on his ride on Legolas at the World Cup in Las Vegas. He, of course, won there the last time the World Cup was in Las Vegas. So he's excited to be back and sitting in third place at the moment. We have, out of the top five, we have two U.S. riders. Laura Graves is also sitting in fifth place. So, but, you know, Charlotte is 6 points ahead, Jamie, right now going into the freestyle, which is the one that she totally excels at with Velegro. It's going to be interesting. I think that that'll be a test that we're all going to want to see in video after.
Yeah, I'm... She's just amazing. And Blueberry.
I know.
Oh,
that's
my
so
God.
Funny.
That's
she called him Blueberry.
That's the greatest barn name ever. And it's just so not what you would imagine that horse's name being. Like, I would think you would just call him Velegro.
I know. He's all man. Like, he looks like a Velegro, doesn't he? He's all man. He's all, like, puffed up. And then she calls him Blueberry. It's so funny. And she's so cute.
That's
so bubbly
adorable.
And fun.
Adorable.
Yeah.
I wish, though, they are in Vegas. We need some, like, Vegas-style interviewer, not some British guy. Like, they brought their interviewers with them. Like, I want to hear, like, kind of a, I don't know, Southwestern type accent, just getting down and dirty. But no, it sounds so professional. It's dressage.
It is dressage. You know, it's horse ballet. Isn't that what we decided we're going to call it when they changed the name? Horse ballet.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This is the horse ballet part.
That's right. Well, let's take a break for our sponsor for this show, Kentucky Performance Products. And then we're coming back with a best-selling author who is writing a book that's going to be right after your own heart there, Jamie, about Mustang.
I know.
So we're going to be talking to her in just a minute.
He was her first love, the one that started it all. He taught her how to master the posting trot and navigate her first hunter course. They spent hours together exploring the trails and hanging out in the barn. His name was doodled on every page in her school notebook. His coat gleamed in the sun as he met her at the gate each day, snuffling for a treat. From the first time she saw him poking his head out of the stall to the last time she patted him goodbye, he was, and always will be, her everything. This love story is brought to you by Nalox Advanced, providing complete support for a healthy digestive tract, which reduces the risk of colic and digestive upset. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
And you can also find Kentucky Performance Products on Facebook. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products. Well, coming up next, we have an author who is very well known. She has done a series of books called Canterwood Crest. She has over 1 million books in print, which is hard to do for an equestrian writer. And she has some Briar model horses that have been created for two of the main horses in her books. And we've had Briar on here. We know how tough it is to get a Briar horse made. And she has accomplished that. Plus, she has a new book coming out we're going to talk about, and it should appeal to Jamie. We have Jessica Burkhart on here. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, you live in Covington, Kentucky, which is a very pretty place.
It is, and it's only about an hour away from Lexington, so I'm lucky to be close to the horse park.
Yeah, you get to go in for all the cool stuff. Will you be going to Rolex next week?
I hope so, yes.
Well, you can go for us. This is the first year. We're not going in a very long time, so we'll be jealous if you're there watching.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
Now, tell us, you were a horse girl growing up, and then you had an unfortunate thing happen when you were in your early teens. Tell us about that.
I was a horse girl growing up. I always had horses, had started riding when I was about five, and I wore my paddock boots to school thinking that that was high fashion. And that all the boys thought, you know, that those would be awesome. But I didn't care. I just wanted to get home to my horse. And when I hit second grade, I developed a mild case of scoliosis, or curvature of the spine. And my spine shifted into the shape of an S. And doctors thought over time, if I wore back braces, that it would slow the curvature. But that didn't happen, so I ended up wearing the brace 24 hours a day, taking it off just for showers, and that slowed how much I could ride. And finally, my spine twisted so much that it was pressing into my heart and my lungs, and I was having heart palpitations, and I couldn't breathe well. So doctors decided that I needed to have a spinal fusion at 13. So I did. And they inserted 2 12-inch titanium rods and about 13 one-inch screws into my back.
Ugh.
And 13, I was told that, you know, hey, your dream of being an equestrian professionally, it's over. Because if you get back on a horse and fall off the wrong way, you can dislodge a screw or snap a rod and you'll be paralyzed. And at that age, it was beyond devastating.
I can't imagine being a 13-year-old girl is hard enough, you know, just by itself.
Yes.
let alone having to wear a brace and, you know, have to deal with that at school. And then, of course, being a horse girl and having to deal with the fact that you can't ride anymore. That had to be very, very difficult going through your teen years.
It was. It definitely was. At school, you know, the braces, it fits you from your right under your armpits almost down to your hip bone. And it's hard plastic with straps in the back that release it up. And I had a lot of people make fun of me behind my back. And then it started to come to my face. And in fifth grade, after about 3 years of it, I'd had enough. And I asked my teacher if I could speak to the class, and she kind of looked at me and like, okay. And I said, hey guys, look, this is the thing I've been trying to hide under layers and layers and layers of clothing. If you have anything you want to ask me about it, please do it now. And they were silent.
What a great way to address it. Wow, you're so brave.
Thank you. I just had enough of that, and I will not forget that following Friday, our class got to watch a movie, and one of the guys, his name was Josh, who had teased me the most, he knew that sitting on the floor was very painful for me, so he asked the teacher if he could get a chair, and he sat up a chair for me and sat beside me on the floor. So I'll never forget that.
Sure. Nice.
Well, it worked. You're addressing it head on. Worked. There's a lesson for life. And then you did. I mean, you really did, because you got your horse fixed kind of in a different way.
I did. I mean, for 6 years, from 13 to 19, I absolutely ignored horses. I sold my horse. And I got rid of all of my Black Stallion books and Thoroughbred books and all of my horse DVDs, National Velvet. I didn't want to see horses or think about them at all, because I felt at the time that, oh, if I can't be the professional equestrian that I wanted to be in the riding world, I can't be in it at all. It's just too painful. So I spent that time dedicated to writing articles for magazines. It was just something I picked up while I was recovering from my spinal surgery, and I needed something to do since I didn't have horses. And I also started college at 16, because writing just wasn't enough, and I needed anything and everything that I could get my hands on to fill that void in my life of not having horses. So I was doing summer, night, weekend, mini-mester classes, all that I could do to keep my brain busy and was able to graduate free, which is really cool, with an associate in arts degree when I graduated from high school. So for parents who have kids in high school, it's a dual enrollment. It's a really great program because the college courses are free, and it's something that I speak often about, telling parents to let their kids explore that if they're ready. And, you know, while I was in my senior year at Florida State University, I was 19, and it was October of 2006, and I heard about this contest called National Novel Writing Month. And it occurs every November, and the goal is to write a 50,000-word novel in 30 days.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah. So, no. They ask you to do that while Thanksgiving is going on. If you're a student, whatever, you have to write 50,000
words. I couldn't type 50,000 words in 30 days, let alone come up with a novel. I couldn't even type the words in 30 days.
You are not even allowed to type the first sentence before midnight on November 1st. That's when everything starts, and the contest is so huge now that over, I think, 200,000 people participate around the world, and there are forums online where everybody can talk about their novels and get help. And the prize at the end of the month is that you've completed, albeit an ugly first draft, but it's a draft of a novel. And I heard about it about 2 weeks before it started, and I thought, hey, you know, I've never written a book before. I've written short pieces of nonfiction, but maybe I could write a book. And I spent 2 weeks absolutely spinning my wheels, had no idea what to write about. And finally, the night before, I just kind of sat myself down and said, you know what you want to write. And yes, it might be painful, but I think you should try it. And the idea was for my tween series, Canterwood Crest. And it is about a 12-year-old girl who goes off to an equestrian boarding school and competes on their equestrian team. And it was kind of what I wished I could have done at her age, at my main character's age. So I sat in front of the computer on November 1st, and by the end of the month, I had 50,000 words down. And I printed it, and at the end, with a big pink highlighter with Flourish, wrote the end, like a total amateur. I was so excited, though, to have it done. And I realized that I could still be part of Horse World. I didn't have to be in the saddle, but I could, as cheesy as it sounds, ride vicariously through my characters. And after that, you guys, I was hooked. I was back.
So you sure were. A million, 20 books later, a million books in print, and you're going to be speaking at the Breyer Conference coming up. But I think Jamie wants to get to your next book. I think that's where she's chomping at the bit, because as you know, she just adopted herself a Mustang. And now tell us about your next book coming out.
Well, it's up for pre-order now. It's called Wild Hearts, and it is my debut young adult novel. So it's for anyone ages 9 and up. And it is about a 16-year-old girl who has moved around a lot. Her father is a land developer, and they decide to settle for a year in Wyoming. And her father is coming to town to tear down a bunch of land and build a hotel. And he's not exactly welcomed by the townspeople because they have a very large Mustang population that they protect. And it's part of his plan to drive the horses away from town, out of town. He doesn't care how it's done. He wants them away from his hotel and away from his property. And at the beginning of the novel, his daughter is kind of, you know, she's not that invested in the Mustangs. She's more on the side of her dad's business. But, of course, she meets a very cute 16-year-old cowboy who happens to be part of the Mustang herd. And it's his passion. It's his love. He lost his mother very young, and his father gave him a gelding, and he is all about protecting these horses. And slowly he teaches her all of the inhumane things that are being done to the Mustang population, and she finally takes a stand against her father, and the two of them are able to work together to work and protect this population, this herd of Mustangs. And she learns a lot about them. And I hope that I've done some justice to bringing to my Canterwood readers and my new readers the true plight of what's really going on to these Mustangs, because it's just scary.
Did you do research? Did you visit Mustang holding facilities? Did you go see wild horses? How did you get inspired for this, and how did you learn about it?
I've always been interested in horse rescue. My first, it's a little bit different, but I started out by being interested in the Misty at Chincoteague series and then learning about those ponies up in Virginia. And then that kind of bled into, okay, where are other bands of wild horses and what's going on? So I went on a lot of websites for Mustang sanctuaries, talked to people who ran them, and this summer I am going to be able to finally make it out there and have my first up-close experience with these wild horses. But I spent a lot of time interviewing these people. So,
Where are you going?
I am hoping to go, out to Colorado. They have a great facility. I believe it's the Black Hills Sanctuary in Colorado. And they've just been wonderful providing me information. And I've also connected with Terry Farley. She wrote the Phantom Stallion series, and she is a huge Mustang advocate. So she's someone that I've looked to for sources of information and just the things that I didn't know, that, you know, that they were rounding up these horses by helicopters and driving entire herds over cliffs just sickened me. And I made sure in the back of Wild Hearts that in my author's note, I directly address the readers and tell them where to go to learn more information. And it's been my goal during, you know, when I do Briar Fest and when I do my first book signing on May 13th in Lexington at Joseph Beth, that I will be providing all of them with information on how to either sponsor a horse. And I tell everyone, even if you can't give dollars, these sanctuaries need iPhones. They need used phones. They need blankets and for towels and disinfectant, anything like that is what they're looking for. They need so many things to take care of these horses. So I'm really encouraging my readers to sort of bring that to me, and I will send it directly on to the facility.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, you know what? You could have sat by and done nothing, but you're doing something, and I can't thank you enough for that. The book comes out on May 5th, correct?
Yes.
And where can people find it?
You can find it at any major bookseller. You can go to indiebound.org and find it at a local bookseller. It's already up for pre-order on BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com.
My gosh, you are like a really big deal. This is Glenn, I think this is our biggest guest we've had. My gosh, she's like super famous.
Well, you know what?
Got books published.
You know what amazes me about you, Jessica, and also pisses me off about you. There's two things. One that amazes me, and two, it pisses me off, is you're 28 years old. I don't think I'm giving away any state secret there. You're 28 years old, and you've already had 21 books in print, and you're a best-selling author at the age of 28. But you, I think it's because of that adversity you overcame at 13 is the reason that you're there at such a young age, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Without that, I know that I would still be working with horses and I would be so happy, but I don't think that I would have just even the teasing that I had through school where I had to get up and finally say, I can't take this anymore, I have to address this. I think that taught me so many things. And when I made my book deal, my first one, it wasn't I didn't sit back and say, okay, I expect you guys to send me on this 30-city book tour and fly me all over the place. That just doesn't happen unless you're a big deal. And I was a first-time author, so I developed a 12-point font, single-spaced, 30-page marketing plan that I was going to do for promotion of my own books, sent it to my publisher, and I got a phone call from the VP of Simon & Schuster, and she said, you know what? We've never had another author do this. Why don't you fly up to we'll fly you up to New York and have you meet us, and we'll throw you a party because this is pretty cool. So I try not to sit back on my heels, and I like to be very, very active.
In between the writing gig, would you like to write one of those up for a radio network we know, the 30-page marketing plan? That would be great. In between.
Oh my God, I would absolutely be on board with that for sure. I'm always
Glenn,
trying to learn new things.
Yeah, but
it's
I don't
only
think
gonna
I could
cost
afford
you,
it.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's only
going
to cost you about $500,000. You'd be fine.
That's right.
She's,
I didn't think
she's
I could afford
author.
Her. Yeah.
Yeah. Please, you guys are so kind to have me on today. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Jessica, we're excited to have you on, and canterwoodcrest.com is where you can find it. And I'm excited because tween novels are exactly the readings that I like to do. So I've got nine on. Perfect. And I bet that the guy, like, I was totally, while you were describing it, thinking about how cute the, like, Wyoming cowboy must be. And, like, she's, like, moving in. Oh, I could just see the story. Well done. I'm excited.
There's
I want to read
movie.
It.
Who's in the
That's
movie?
The movie.
Okay,
it's
Jessica,
the movie.
Who's in the movie? Who do you have cast already in your mind for the hot cowboy?
Yes, exactly. The cowboy is very hot, you guys. Wait till you read about him.
Is it Zac Efron hot, or are we thinking younger? And obviously not Justin Bieber, because we've seen him ride a horse in photographs, and it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. Yeah. No. We're thinking, like, a little bit, like, sandy blonde hair, tall, tan, gorgeous cowboy hat. He's got the belt buckle that's silver and big and beautiful boots, so he's just a gorgeous guy who doesn't muscle around the horses. He is gentle as they come, and that's what I love about him.
Well, we need to find a new actor then, because I don't think of anybody that describes him. So we're going to have to start from scratch. We'll do a search. I will help you find 20-something actors, 20-something-year-old actors.
You're
going to
help
her. Bill.
You're going to help. You're going to gladly pitch in and help with the auditions, Jamie. Is that it?
If she needs help, I am here to help her, Glenn. Okay? I'm
you're
a giver.
To watch those guys audition, right? Line
yes,
up.
Yes. Now,
I will
you
be
kind
there
of,
for you.
Now, there's going to be a couple shirtless scenes. If you don't mind taking your shirt, can you bend over, please? We're going to have to get that. I can see it now.
And we're just going to. We'll just snap a couple of photos because we have to with our personal phones. But don't worry, we won't send them anywhere. It's just so we can talk about the casting. You know,
I like her already. I like her already. I'm already in for this job. Hire me. JessicaBurkhart.com is where you can find her. Go get her book. I'm sure you're on Facebook as well. Search for Jessica Burkhart. All right, fantastic. Jessica,
thank you
so much for joining us. And keep us posted. Let's talk to you when the sequel comes out.
Sounds good. Thank you guys so much.
All right,
thank you. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
She's sweet. Jessica Burkhart. And you can find also, she has jessicaburkhart.com and canterwoodcrest.com is where you'll find the, she's also a listener. She's been listening to our show for quite a long time. So it was nice of her to drop us a note and let us know about the new book coming out.
That's so cool.
You know what, who was it that just did this recent movie? We had a review of it on Tuesday. Karen reviewed the new movie. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned it. The chick flick, the ride one. What's it called?
Unbroken?
Jennifer can help us out. With the longest ride. Yes.
Oh,
Karen
I'm so
did
excited.
It for us on Tuesday, and I didn't know if you went to see the chick flick yet, but she kind
I
of
haven't...
said wait. Yeah, she said wait till it comes out on free TV. Was her
no.
opinion.
Yeah. No, are you serious? It can't be. No, it's got to be awesome.
No, she gave it 2 flakes out of 6. She was kind of, she didn't.
Why?
Is it Clint Eastwood's son? Who's in there?
Scott Eastwood.
Scott Eastwood. Yeah, she said he was good to look at, but there wasn't enough shirtless scenes. So that was her opinion.
Well,
is that,
the only hesitation I have is that it is by a book by Nicholas Sparks. And I don't know if I'm giving anything away, but Nicholas Sparks tends to write movies that make chicks cry, which usually means somebody dies. And, I will read Nicholas Sparks books or watch Nicholas Sparks movies when I need a good cry because I know it's coming. But Scott Eastwood is a little hottie. Maybe he could be in her book.
There, that's what I was thinking, but he's already done a movie like this, right? Bronc rider in this, so, he was a bull rider in this one. So, yeah, she only gave it 2 flakes out of 6. So let me know if your opinion's any different if you decide to go. But from what I heard, do not drag your husband along to this one, or you're going to be sleeping on the couch for a month.
I'll cash in my movie watching somewhere else.
Okay, good to know. Good to know.
Yeah, I'm just warning you. All right, let's take a break for Equus Sketch, one of our sponsors. And then I have a song request for today. It was from Robert Grantham, who called us on Wednesday. And he wanted me to do it on Wednesday, and then we forgot. You remember him telling us that his new baby, is it Haruma?
Yes, Haruma.
Haruma actually came out a little bit looking like she was riding a horse. Her legs were kind of, bow-legged a little bit. And he said, well, she came out ready to ride. So he requested Born to Run as a song today for for Haruma. And we will play that now. Glenn the Geek here. The life of horse person is hard enough, and we all hate doing the required paperwork, and unfortunately many of us never get around to it, and it just piles up on our desk. That is about to change thanks to the Equisketch Records app for your iPhone or iPad. My wife and I use it to track our horses, and we absolutely love this thing. Equisketch Records is the most thorough and complete equestrian records app on the market today. We love this app because you can track your farrier work, your dental, your coggins, medicines, worming, and so much more. And you can get reminders on your device when all of these things are due. You'll never forget a worming or shots or farrier visit again. But it not only tracks your horse, you can also manage your horse shows, including individual events. You can manage riders, including lessons and memberships, and so much more. And you can sync it between your iPhone and your iPad, and all of this for the price of a couple of cups of coffee from Starbucks. Search for Equisketch Records in the iOS App Store or go to equisketch.com. That's EQUISKETCH.com. Equisketch.com.
That I ever said, visions of galloping in my head, mane slow and tails held high, I knew that I was born to ride. I was born to ride like a bird.
wonderful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for the EquityMFG.com Really Bad Ads. And we are brought to you by EquityMFG.com. Of course, everybody who submits an ad is eligible to win one of their terrific Flex and Forks. We were using it yesterday to clean the paddocks here at the farm. The Flex and Fork is the alternative. You would like less than three stalls, and you want the ultimate in manure forks. Yes, it's a little more expensive than the ones you're going to find at the feed store, but it's going to last you 10 times longer, and it's going to work 10 times better. It has a built-in suspension system. It's one of the only manure forks I know of with a built-in suspension system that when you're out cleaning, and we have this problem here in Florida where there's these roots that travel across the ground that you cannot, I mean, they just don't break. So when you go to clean poop in the paddock and you go to pick it up, it all the time is flicking poop right up into your face. Well, with these Flex and Force, because of the suspension system, you don't have that trouble. Now, if you clean more than three stalls a day, and you're then going to want to take a look at the Shake and Fork. It will save you time and money, and it will save you bedding. It does the work for you. It has a trigger on it, has a motor built into it, and it will actually do the shaking for you. So it will save you half the time and half the bedding. It really does work. We've had many of our listeners who clean stalls professionally switch to the Shake and Fork because of the time savings. You want to find all of those terrific manure forks at EquityMFG.com. And anybody who submits an ad is eligible to win a Flex and Fork every single month. And then at the end of the year, anybody who submits an ad is in for a Shake and Fork. We'll do the drawing at the end of the year. But, of course, every day we have a prize for the winner of that particular Friday's Really Bad Ads. Jennifer's going to tell us what that is.
Prize is... There we go. Today's prize is Pet Remedy, a new and natural way of tackling stress and anxiety with several years of research and trials have resulted in Pet Remedy, a blend of essential oils working alongside these natural relaxation pathways to help calm nerves of the anxious or stressed pet, ideal for dogs, cats, horses, rabbits, rodents, and husbands.
she hasn't tried it on me yet, but she's been wanting to.
Every time she gets near the bottle,
I take it away from her.
Yeah, how do you know? You don't know.
Well, that's true.
Here, babe,
that's
I made
true.
You a drink. Have some tea.
This stuff is interesting. We found it at the Pet World Expo, and what you do is you just rub it on their nuzzle or on their anywhere on their face. You just rub it on, and it's supposed to work. People have used it, said it really does work for dogs and cats and horses, and it works instantly. So I don't know. You can give it a try yourself and let us know.
Is it something that you would put on like a dog when they're scared of lightning and thunder, or a horse who is scared of minis? I mean, what do you do? What's it?
It's for de-stressing and calming. So it's any situation where the animal is stressed, and they even do use it on birds, and you know if you have mice or guinea pigs or whatever.
Cool.
Yeah, you're supposed to just rub a little bit of it on their face.
The example that the inventor used with us is she is a horse gal, and she breeds, I want to say, cobs, Irish cobs, and she had one horse who was a terrible traveler. Horse loaded just fine, but traveled terribly. And she was sort of the test subject, and she uses it. She would put it on the horse about 15 minutes before they'd load up, and she said it greatly improved the horse's comfort level when traveling in the horse van. She was much more settled and quiet rather than completely freaked out.
Now, this is a 15-milliliter bottle, Jamie. I've ordered you 5 gallons. So you should be.
I'll put it in Edward's water trough, and just every time he dunks his nose in to drink, he'll get some on.
There you go.
Good just call.
Straight up pet remedy. No water at all.
Yeah, that's all it drinks.
All right, let's get started. These are ads that our listeners have submitted, usually found on Craigslist from around the country. The first one is from Stacy. 150 horses, Arabian / quarter horses, for $150. That's a deal. Hi, I am selling my horses. They're half Arabian, half quarter horse. I have three fawns, two male, two female. They are adults. They are free range. The fawns, F-O-N-Z, won't let you touch them, but they let you walk right up to them. Never been rode or never been trained, so any other questions, feel free to call or text.
What
yes, he said,
the hell
he has
did
three
you just
fawns,
read?
F-A-W-N-S, three fawns, yes. Two male
then,
and two female.
But that's I'm no math expert here, but to have two male and two female is not three. That's four.
No, that's
I don't
four.
Know
and,
what.
And it's also not 150. It's not 150 horses either. No.
I don't understand. Yeah. 150 horses for sale, three fawns, two male, two female, that are adults. They're free range. And then he goes on to say, never been rode on, never been trained. So you can
never been
can
touched.
Yeah.
I don't get that ad either. Three fawns, two male, two female. I don't get where they were going. I thought maybe I had to reread the title to see if it was actually deer. But I don't know of any deer that are Arabian quarter horse cross. So probably not a deer.
I'm no expert, but I'm not sure what they were doing there. Okay.
I don't either. I have no idea. All right. I have the next one, too. Ingrid sent this one in. This was short. Well, short ones to start today. Jumping horse, $20. And condition is new. Yep. It's a new jumping horse. Sell almost a new jumping horse. You have to pick up. Yep, that's the complete description right there.
Oh, my God. Does that mean it jumps out of their pasture and, like, get it out of here?
I think probably. And, I know, it always amazes me when people describe animals as new or old. It's a new one.
Yeah.
No, a new one is a day old. That's a new one.
new. Brand
it's
new.
New.
Or he just newly started jumping, one or the other. Janelle sent in the next one. Thanks, Ingrid, for that one, by the way. Janelle sent in this one. Horse, this is the title. Horse APHA Sorrel Tobiano Stud for Sale. Sorrel Tobiano Stallion registered with APHA Contessa Thundercloud. I love those paint names. Contessa Thundercloud. Date of birth, July 15th, 2008. Coggins negative proven stud. Okay. So he won't throw Coggins babies. Coggins babies. EIA.
Is that a thing that happened?
No, it's not. Oh. It's definitely not.
Okay.
This is why punctuation is important, people. Listed as an eligible sire by the APHA, looking for a good family. No dealers welcome. Punctuation, again, very important. The cost to have Thundercloud gelded is $175 plus a $55 farm call. If I deduct the cost of castrate him, then amend his papers, I will deduct the $230 price of castrating Thundercloud and accept only $120 for him as is. If you want him left a stud, then his price is $300. Is anybody else confused?
I have no idea what you just said. Something about castrating him, but that's what I got out of it. I have no idea what you just said.
If you have a horse named Thundercloud, you don't need to put his name four times in every sentence. I don't even know
Isn't
what I just read.
Isn't it appropriate that he is a stallion, though? Because, you wouldn't want to have a mare named Thundercloud. That'd be bad.
No.
But, a stallion named Thundercloud just works. It just works.
What's funny is there's such a lack of punctuation except for in the money areas, it's $175.00 plus $55.00 farm call plus $300. It's exactly spelled out, perfectly correct. Then it goes on to say, already leads, loads, and has been rode. Is anyone interested in finishing this paint horse? Anyone? Delivery may be available using MapQuest, $2 per mile one way. And again, every dollar amount is written out perfect, but Thundercloud, apparently, they're thinking about gelding him, and they probably should just go ahead and do that.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to pay for the gelding unless he's committed to be sold. Yeah, he's not going to do it unless the horse is sold. That's it. I'm not doing it.
So it's just confused. Like, they never actually, like, I don't know. I don't even understand what I read. I don't even understand how much the horse costs between the math and the gelding and the farm calls and everything. Okay.
And you know what's bad is this person thought, I'm going to be very clear about this so that nobody misunderstands.
Exactly.
That's what happened. I'm going to be so clear. I'm going to spell it out. Mona sent the following then in. Horses for sale. Sorrel gelding colt, 3 years old. Bay Philly, 2 years old. Bro and sis, not broke. Need the room. No tire kickers. PM for info. Have mother came from the West and is a using horse. No idea what that means. It's in summer Georgia though. I gotta tell you.
Oh man, that's a big Philly cult right there.
Came
and it's a using horse.
Other people apparently are not using horses. They don't use those horses.
They're not using horses. It's not a using horse. That's
when they say no tire kickers. Isn't everybody a tire kicker when you go to look at a horse?
I guess I don't know that. But I'm not just gonna come out and buy your horse. Well, I might, but people should not just come out and just buy the horse.
Other people won't. Jamie might.
Other people.
But.
I might, but normal people should not just go and buy the horse. Of course, they need to come look at it first, go home, think about it, talk to their family, you know, make sure their husband's okay with it and not just show up with the trailer and walk away with it. So maybe there are tire kickers. Maybe there aren't. I don't know. I've never been one. Uta sent in the next one. 5-year-old gelding paint quarter, $700 in Ashland County. 5-year-old gelding needing rehomed. Red is a very sweet boy. Red has never bucked or reared with me on him. Red is very, very green. Is that ironic? I bought Red for my fiance and planned on breaking him, but sadly I now won't have the time. Red will only go to a good home. Was she going to break her fiance or break the horse? The way it's written, I bought Red for my fiance and planned on breaking him. But sadly, now I won't have time.
I wonder what color the fiance is. I'm not sure. Red is very, very green. That's the statement of the day right there.
That is so funny. Red is green.
Red is green.
Misty, I bet she didn't even know she wrote that. Like, she didn't even get it.
I know. I plan on breaking him. But sadly, I won't have the time.
Because Red is green.
Because Red is green. I wonder if the fiancé is going to go to a good home or Red. Do you think she's actually thought about that? Should I send the fiancé out or should I sell the horse? Do you think that crossed her mind? No.
She just wrote the whole thing down. She wrote what she was thinking. Bless her heart.
Misty sent in the following one. This is the trailer of the week, John. Small livestock horse trailer, $350. This one's in Texas, all you lucky Texas people. Small homemade livestock trailer. A solid metal floor with a rubber mat. A bulldog hitch. No idea what that means. Tires actually hold air. Great for a pony, mini horse, donkey, calves, goats, sheep, or pigs. No title will be sold with a bill of sale. Pickup only, no delivery and no shipping. Cash only, $350. This is a convertible. It's definitely homemade. I think it's probably the width of one very skinny horse. It does have airing the tires, it appears, but you can't really see them because, again, the grass has grown up completely around the trailer. They haven't moved it in 3 years. Yes, it is. It kind of has filigree on the sides. You know that they have, like they have in Victorian mansions?
Yeah.
That's what the kind of side. It looked like at the top there. Now, it's air-conditioned completely, and also it's not waterproof because it's no roof. But it has what looks like the structure for a roof, maybe.
It's like one of those, you know, when the settlers went across, to the west, and they had those wagon trains, and there was, like, the canvas covering on top of it. It's like the canvas is gone. It's like sort of bone, and if you put a horse in there, inevitably it would choke itself out.
I was just wondering about that because if it put its head up and got stuck in the nose in the top part in the little tiny holes, I got wondering about that. Yeah,
it's not safe.
Probably not safe. Maybe for it's not. You know, you could put maybe a pig in there because he's not going to be that tall. So we'll call
you
it.
You could put mattresses. It's a mattress mover.
Unless it's raining, then you really don't want to put mattresses.
Yeah, that's true. Nikki sent in
Jennifer
the next one.
Jennifer will post that on our Facebook page, by the way.
Yeah. And Nikki sent in this one, horses, and that's H-O-R-S-E apostrophe S in the possessive form. I have four horses that my kids are older and have lost interest in. They are great trail horses. Three of them have done Christmas parades, fall festivals at our church, riding lots of kids.
They were riding lots of kids.
They rode lots of kids. Punctuation people. Road trails all over Alabama. Oh, my God. This is Alabama. Let me start over. Please, let me start over. I got four horses and my kids are older and lost interest in. They's great trail horses. Three of them has done Christmas parades, fall festivals at our church, riding lots of kids. Road trails all over Alabama. I will sail as a package deal with all the tack or individual. I will also consider trades on meat goats, cattle, or you just tell me what you got. These are not crazy or wild.
It was much better with the southern accent. It was much better.
It is. It is. And you know what? You're going to have a southern accent whether or not you're in the South if you say you're going to trade your horse for a meat goat.
Meat goat, yes.
Oh, poor goat. Oh, I got the next one, too. Mare for sale. I don't know where this one is, so I'll just read it. Garter horse mare. Oh, this has no punctuation. Garter horse mare for sale, she 5 1/2 year old, no bad hobbits, good to be around fast learner. She rides western and she is 100% rideable and 100% healthy. She is not registered last time, ridden December 26, 2014, asking $1,400. OBO reasonable offers only. Please, serious inquiries only.
She's a garter horse. I have no idea what that is. A garter horse.
What's a garter horse?
A garter horse with no bad hobbits.
She has no hobbits either. Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's always good when your horse doesn't have any bad hobbits.
There's no evil Bilbo Baggins that is attached to this mare.
That's right. You won't have anything to do with New Zealand or whatever that place
no
was.
No ring.
Yeah. I couldn't watch this movie, so I don't know what a garter horse is then. $1,400. It was not in the movies, people. It was not in the movies. Last one today is sent in by Chelsea Tipton. Free to any home, in capital letters. Free to any home. One very crafty mini. It's the mini. It's the disastrous thoroughbred eating mini that's up by your house. I bet you this is it. Free to any home. One very crafty mini can escape from any fence. Virtually impossible to catch, especially after escaping from any fence. Enjoys playing in traffic and finding trouble. Sort of broke to drive if you don't mind the spooking. Kind of broke to ride with heavy sedation. A barn favorite will make an excellent addition to any home except mine.
I love it. We hate this horse. It's not free to a good home. It's free to any home. They'd probably use it as a meat goat if they could.
This is your mini. This is your evil mini that was up by your track.
Virtually
you
impossible.
You need to bring this home. You need to mini-proof your horses. Just get this one. It sounds perfect.
It does sound perfect. Absolutely. I'm gonna. You know when you ride one horse and you pony the other horse? Well, I'm going to actually let Edward pony the mini by tying the mini to Edward. I think that's the only way. The only way it's going to work.
Yeah, I think
it
could
go wrong.
Yeah,
what could go
wrong? Yeah. I'm sure nothing could go wrong.
I love it.
I love
sort of thing. Broke the drive.
This is
sort
extremely
of,
honest. This
yeah.
is very honest, Dad. You got to give him that.
I do.
You don't have
I
to
do.
The lines on this one. You will no. get a nasty little creature is what they're basically saying. That's what you're going to end up with. that's funny.
So funny.
Well, who do we pick to win the pet remedy today?
I have my vote, and you guys okay. can weigh in on what you want. My favorite ad today has definitely been Thundercloud, the horse who
yes.
has no idea how much he costs.
All right, Gatha. I'm with you. Thundercloud, Janelle sent that one in. Thank you, Janelle, for sending that in. Jennifer, why don't we write Janelle Cameron down as the winner of the pet remedy. And let us know how it works, Janelle. I don't know what kind of animals you have there, but put it on all of them and see if they're all just mellowing out like they've had a marijuana party or something.
Janelle, if you're married, sneak it into your husband and see if that calms him down a little bit.
Put a little on your hands and rub it on his face and see what happens. We'll let us know.
Babe, you got something. Hold on. Lick it. Like, pretend to lick your finger and be like, you got something on your nose. And then wipe it, like, on his nose. Come here. You got something on your face. And then smack it on there and let me know how it goes.
The poor
Not
pet,
that
the
I would
lady
do that.
Came by from Pet Remedy, too. She was from England. Well, that's it. Thank you so much for sending in the really bad ads. We really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. There were some good ones there this morning. And we'll be back on Monday. Monday, I'll talk to you a little bit about this court case that I talked about. And we'll delve into that a little bit more when we have time on Monday. But do you have anything wild planned this weekend?
Wild. No, I have to go to a birthday party for a 3-year-old and a wedding, all in the same day. So,
oh, that's fun. Was
that's
somebody
pretty much
trying to torture you or what?
It's going to be a good time. You know what? I've realized when you have a kid, you then automatically get invited to kids' birthday parties. I went to a 2-year-old's birthday party last weekend. We have a 3-year-old this weekend, and in 2 weeks I have to go to a 4-year-old's birthday party. Now, you say, why are you going? Well, because their parents are friends of mine now that I have a kid, and they have kids, and so you just, it's like this unspoken code. You go to these birthday parties, and I went to Toys R Us the other day and bought 4 toys, none of which were for my child.
Now, I realize, too, and I'm thinking about you going to birthday parties, and I'm thinking about the whole vegan thing. So you don't get to have any cake. You do let your poor child have a piece of cake, don't you?
You know what is so – that's why I love my kid. He doesn't like any of that crap. I actually shoved ice cream on his lips, like, 2 days ago and, like, hit him with a spoon of ice cream to get him to try it. And he was like, ah, like it was poison. Like, I put acid on his face. He thought it was terrible. So I can't get him to eat anything but, like, mac and cheese. It's, like, the go-to food right now. I don't know. Maybe he'll outgrow it, but he doesn't like cookies. He doesn't like cake. Excuse me, nothing.
Oh, that'll change. That'll change. Oh, that'll change when he gets to school and all the kids start bringing in their cookies.
I know. He likes fruit and mac and cheese. So that's kind of what we're sticking to right now.
Well, it's easy to make. That's one thing.
Exactly. And I buy the organic, like, no dye, you know, all the organic mac and cheese, so it tastes terrible, too, and he still likes it.
You're torturing your child.
I know.
Torturing
poor guy.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Looks
you should see what the husband has.
Picture. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but see, he gets to leave every day and then buy whatever the hell he wants. So, you know, at least he's got that.
My dad has been here this whole week, and I can't tell you how many times he's been like, can we just go out to dinner? I'm like, no, you are going to eat this, and you are going to like it.
Well, you know, I was, you know, we were sort of talking about coming out to visit you here at the end, you know, in the fall. And I was really thinking about, yeah, you know what? We're not going to stay with Jamie. We're going to get a nice hotel nearby. And that way we get to escape and have real food at least once a day. That was,
you know,
my
what,
theory.
My friend, yeah? You weren't invited to stay with me. So
can we bring our own food? Can we bring our own food?
I'll keep a small mini fridge in your room.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You can bring
home
your leftovers.
I appreciate that. We'll see everybody. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend. Hope you guys have a good one. Spay, neuter, geld, everybody. I hope you guys have some exciting horse adventures. We have something to talk about Monday.
Yeah, definitely.